Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In Ruth chapter 1, Ruth made a strong decision to follow Naomi back to the good land. And this typifies our decision to receive Christ. Today, in the life study of Ruth, we are going to see that that's not enough. We also need to enjoy Christ, as typified by the gleanings that Ruth did from Boaz's field. And we also need to enter into a marriage with Christ, as typified by Ruth marrying Boaz. Today with me is Francis Ball, and my name is Matt Miller, filling in for Chris Wilde. Francis, welcome back to Life Study.
Thank you. It's a marvelous little book we're in this time, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. I'm struggling because there's so much positive to say about this particular chapter. I hope we don't run out of time trying to squeeze it all in. Francis, yesterday, Chris was here in his last program before he took off to do a seminar in London with Bob Denker, and they were here talking about chapter 2 of Ruth, which was the matter of Ruth making a choice. So, Francis, why don't you give us a little background on where we are today in the context? We're on chapter 3 today, where Ruth is seeking for her rest. But yesterday, Bob was covering with Chris this matter of how Ruth claimed her right, and she exercised her right to enjoy the riches of the good land.
Well, I think this whole book is really marvelously presented to us, because here we saw at the very beginning this Elimelech took his family and left the good land, even left Bethlehem and Judah. He left the good land, and as a result, he died, his 2 sons died, and Naomi, his wife, was left there in the land of Moab. And because these 2 boys had been brought from the good land to Moab, they married 2 Moabite girls. And one of these girls was named Ruth. And this is what this whole book is talking about. And so we see the swerving from the good land that Elimelech did. Then, after we get into this book, we see Naomi wants to go back to the good land.
Mm-hmm. I think the famine was over. There was food in Israel.
That's right.
They left because there was a famine.
That's right. So they found out this was change in the situation. She wanted to go back, and she tried to persuade her 2 daughters-in-law to just stay with her families there in Moab. But Ruth chose to go with Naomi to the land of Israel, and this was a big point. So that's where we are today. We've got Naomi has come back to the good land. Ruth has chosen definitely to go with her, and now she's in a position where she doesn't have anything. Her husband died, and she didn't have any land to come back to. She comes back to this place with her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law doesn't have anything because they sold everything when they left the good land. So now the first thing she needs is to have a supply. So she is able to go into a field, and this field happened to belong to Boaz, which was a relative of Elimelech. There were certain privileges given by the Lord himself regarding the children of Israel, that they were not to
they were to leave part of the harvest in the field,
yeah,
so that the poor and the sojourners and would have something to glean.
And the widows.
And
she qualifies all 3, so she was able to go in there and claim her right to take the food supply from the field.
I want to apply this a little bit before we go on to today's program. So far, we're just reviewing. But when Ruth was in Moab, the Moabites were cursed to the 10th generation,
yes,
Moses
right.
said. So because of that, she didn't have the right to enter in.
That's right.
And Naomi, in a sense, encouraged her, don't come with me. I don't have any kids. And even if I did have kids, you're not going to wait for them to grow up. And so it says, Orpah, her sister, kissed Naomi, but it says Ruth clung to Naomi. This is like a picture of us making a decision to receive the Lord.
That is a good application because this is all full of pictures. The Old Testament picture of what God wants is brought out in this book. So I hope people would get into this, read the whole story, and get a real sense of the picture that's here.
Absolutely. And in the second step of that picture, after the believers receive the Lord, here's a cursed person, a Moabite, Ruth, but she chooses to go with God's people, Naomi, to the good land. Okay, this is a picture of us receiving Lord. The next step is she's there and needs the food. And this was what you were just sharing about. She exercised her right. And this is what the believers need to do. They need to exercise their right to enjoy the Lord.
That's right.
The believers shouldn't be hungry when the Lord has made a provision for them to have food. We need to exercise our right to enjoy Christ.
That's right. We were in that kind of condition, condemned, but we got into the good land by making the decision to believe in Christ. Now we know Him. So now we don't have to beg His forgiveness. We don't have to beg for His salvation. All we have to do is just claim the right as being in the good land and being those that are qualified by being poor, being a widow, and being a sojourner.
Praise the Lord, that's us.
Amen.
Okay, that's a review up to this point. Now, at the beginning of chapter 3, this is our subject today, okay, is that Ruth is now seeking for her rest. And chapter 3, verse 1 starts out, it says, "And Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, I must seek some resting place for you that it may go well with you.'" So today we're going to get into this matter of Naomi helping Ruth find a resting place through her meeting of Boaz. Let's go to Witness Lee for today's life study of Ruth.
In chapter 3, we see Ruth is seeking for her rest.
Amen.
Firstly, she chose the goal. Secondly, she exercised her right to enjoy what God ordained. Now, thirdly, just to enjoy the right, it is not adequate. You must enjoy Christ to an extent you have rest. Firstly, no doubt, we all have our choice before we got saved, but one day, under the Lord's sovereign arrangement and direction, we heard the gospel, we got inspired to have a choice.
Amen.
Then we made the resolution. Our choice is to be a believer of Christ. After you believe in the Lord Jesus, you got a kind of a organic union with Him. He is in you, and you are in Him. Such an intimate organic union, right? Just as much? Just as much? No. You have to begin to pursue after Him, to get Him, to gain Him, to take Him and to possess Him, and then to keep Him, and then to experience Him, and then to enjoy Him. This is typified by Ruth's exercising of her right. Her right was to enjoy the produce of the good land. You see, after Ruth turned to the good land, right away, that turning gave her the right to enjoy the good land. After we believed in the Lord Jesus, we got the right to enjoy Christ as our good land.
Francis, after we entered into the good land, we got the right to enjoy it. This word, enjoy the good land, or enjoy Christ, may be more practical. Can you say more about this word? I think this word enjoyment of Christ may be foreign to a lot of the listeners today.
I think for many of us, it was foreign before we heard this ministry. That word enjoy was not applied in my history to our relationship with Christ. To obey Him, to fear Him, to serve Him, But I don't remember hearing words like, we need to enjoy Christ, we need to eat him, we need to be supplied by him. And yet, as we saw, the all-inclusive Christ is just typified by the good land where Ruth has come to now. There is this opportunity for her not only to have the right, but now to really enter into this right and begin to enjoy all the riches of the good land. And we're going to see today how not only she needs to pursue him, to know him, but eventually we're going to see how she needs to be in another kind of relationship with the one here who is a type of Christ. Christ is so enjoyable and so sufficient. He is everything. He's our daily food. He's our daily life. He's everything to us. If we're living in the good land, which typifies the all-inclusive Christ, then he is everything to us, and we can eat him, we can enjoy him, we can live by him, we can gain him. So this is what our right is now as those who have decided to be a believer in Christ.
You know, there's a couple verses where the Lord actually referred to this matter of eating him that I'd like to read in case this is foreign for people and they're having a hard time accepting it. John 6:57 says, "He who eats me, he also shall live because of me." We have a right to eat the Lord. We not only have the right to, we need to eat the Lord.
Yes.
To live by the Lord, we need to eat him. The heart of today's message is what we're going to get into now, Francis, and this is this matter of entering into the rest. After we enjoy the Lord, after we eat the Lord, we then need to enter into his rest. It's not enough to just enjoy him. So let's go on to the next section with Witness Lee.
We have to enjoy him. We were roots in chapter 1, right? We must be roots in chapter 2, exercising our right to enjoy Christ. Right? He's our food, he's our drink, he's our bread, he's our clothing. Learn of roots. Every morning you have to glean. What field do you have? The Bible. To the conversion.
Amen.
We have to glean every day. This chapter 2. But still no established rest. If you don't have a home, you could never have a settled rest. By what you can have a settled rest as home? By marriage. When you get married, you will have a home. And that is your resting place. And here, you better read chapter 3. Who is the husband? Both. And who is our today's husband? Christ. Have you ever considered Christ as your husband? Many, many of you. You love the Lord Jesus. You respect him and this and that. You never tell him, Lord, you are my husband. How could I have your home? Married to Jesus, taking him as your husband. You see, Ruth was good there, enjoying her life with Naomi. That's good. But one day, Naomi, she pushed Ruth to get home. Ruth, now I must seek for you a resting place. When Ruth and Boaz met together on the field, that might be considered as their dating or even as their courting. They were so ripe, good, ready, qualified, and prepared to get married. And here's the mother-in-law, the middle person, to push Boaz and Ruth to get the wedding.
Francis, this is a really sweet story with Naomi pushing Ruth to get into the wedding. I think a lot of people just have a smile on their face when they hear this, and they can picture an older woman pushing this, probably a pretty young woman who got Boaz's attention. Ruth was probably attractive. I presume. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah, I think there's plenty in the book of Ruth to indicate that she was attractive and she was considered worthy and she was considered honorable. the way she had treated Naomi was an indication that she was a proper kind of person. And because she went to the field to work, to glean the field, to provide the food that she needed herself, and even lived with her mother-in-law. So there's indication that that Boaz really felt very positively toward this young lady.
It's an important part of the progression. I think Ruth would be a hard book if we didn't get to chapter 3. Because in chapter 1, it's a hard story. I mean, it's sad. But we go on to chapter 2. Someone makes a positive decision to go with God's people, and they exercise their right to enjoy the riches of the good land. But it's not enough, is it, Francis?
The thing that's important right here, we've gotten to this chapter, is that there is the need for a rest. And now Ruth, she's not only made this decision, but now she has exercised her right to enjoy Christ and to be supplied by Him, that is in type. And now she needs a resting place. And Naomi is the one that sees the need even more than Ruth does. So she's urging her now to be more related to this man than just to be working for him. She's allowed to go work in the field. She has the right to do that and to glean what she needs to eat and be taken care of. Her. Many Christians are like this. They've made the decision to be a believer in Christ, and now they expect He will supply their needs. And they've learned to respect Him. They've learned to, in a measure, depend on Him for all their spiritual supply. But
and they're even faithful to go to do the gleaning work.
Yes, that's right.
Like he mentioned, we all need to go to glean in the mornings,
yeah,
with the Word of God. But that's not enough, is it, Francis?
No, there is this need for a home. How can this widow have a home? Because she can only have a home if she gets married. Now, here is where Boaz comes in. He's a wealthy man who owns at least the portion of the land where she's been gleaning. And she recognizes his wealth and his generosity, and everything is made available. He's told her not to go to other fields, that she can get all she needs there. He has told his young men not to bother her just with the gleanings on the outskirts of the field. But whatever she gleans, let her have it and don't rebuke her. And he's told them also to even pull out some bundles for her. So there's something more than just the gleanings. She could have all she wanted just to enjoy this, but there's something lacking. There's no place to be home. There's no place to have rest. She needs a husband. Now, Naomi, she knows that this man, Boaz, is qualified to marry her, and she needs him. That is, Ruth needs him. There was an allowance in the law of Moses that if a husband dies, the brother, the near kinsman, should take this woman as his wife and bring forth heirs to the whole family. So this is quite a marvelous situation. Boaz is qualified to take her, and Naomi is pushing this marriage. Said, you need to go where he is, and you need to find out what you can and let him know where you are.
Francis, it's a marvelous story, and let's go on to the final section with Witness Lee.
All these tabs in the Old Testament are tabs about our gaining Christ, our enjoying Christ. How could Boaz go to Moab to date with Ruth? No way. No possibility. Even according to God's law, these two races are separated. But God had a way. And now that Moabite widow is in Israel. So sovereign, she and Boaz got into one city, Bethlehem. And even more, Ruth got on the field of Boaz. She loved Ruth. Eventually, Ruth fell in love. This is something inward. Nothing expressed. The mother-in-law was here. So she must be the middle to push. I'd like to tell you, my burden is just 2 days, no army. I'm kind of concerned. You never have a rest. If you know Christ is yours, you gleaned probably quite much in his field, but you are the gleaner and his landlord. You never got married. My burden is to push a little bit. I must seek some resting place for you. And the way is only to get you married to Christ. This changes your life. Right away, you will learn how to enjoy your Christ as your life. Then you become a real gainer of Christ and a real enjoyer of Christ. I am Naomi. I'm pushing you to get the husband and form a home and build up a home and stay in the home and enjoy your life with your husband in this home. That is the church.
Francis Witness Lee ended here with our home being in the church. And tomorrow we're going to get into that further, but today we have to linger a little bit on this matter of pushing to get a husband. And this ministry really is Naomi. And we hope that some of the listeners listening right now, wherever they are, feel the push to love the Lord, feel a push to be married to Christ. Tell the Lord, Lord, you're my husband. Even this is the same burden that was in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And before you give us your concluding word, I just want to read 2 Corinthians 11, 2b. For I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. This was Paul's desire too, to present the believers to Christ as a pure one.
This is really a marvelous ministry that would push us to take Christ as our husband. You know, without this realization and without getting into this rest, that is, having Christ as our husband and having a home to rest in, we really are short of being what God desires. God not only wants to be everything to us, but he wants us to be concerned too about his need. So there's a need for this home for many reasons, but the main reason today that we're emphasizing, we need to know Christ as our husband and not just as our landlord, and we're working on his field, but we need to love him as our husband, and we need to have a home. And this home, as Brother Lee pointed out, is the church. Because people don't know him as their husband, they wander from here to there, different places, seeking for rest, and no place seems like rest. But I tell you, the way to know this rest is to know Christ as your husband and to be willing to have a home where he is everything to us. He's our full supply. He's everything that we need. And also, he's being satisfied because there is a place called the church as a home.
It's hard to get rest if you're not in your home.
That's right.
And the Lord really wants us to all be in a home, and he wants us to all be married to him as our unique husband, faithful to him. Well, Francis, thanks for your fellowship today. It's really been good to have you here with me.
I have really enjoyed it, Matt, and we appreciate the opportunity to get into this book together with you.
I don't get to do it often, but it's been enjoyable. We appreciate you being with us also, and we hope that you will get into the book of Ruth and read it further and call us if you'd like to get a copy of the Life Study of Ruth. We're out of time. For Francis Ball, this is Matt Miller. Thank you for listening.